Hello, Santa Barbara, and everywhere on the internet that is listening. This is Bruce Salen, and you are welcomed to the Bruce Salen Show, a dad's point of view on KZSB AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We are instituting a special show today in which we will have a single guest for the whole hour and deal with a specific subject. Today's subject is not a light one. It's about as serious as you get. We are going to be talking about addiction, and primarily as it applies to teenagers, though, of course, addiction is something that affects just about everybody. I am blessed to have our teen rap guest, Pastor Drew Sams, with us today. Pastor Drew has been on staff at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village, California for the last 5 years, pastoring high school students as well as preaching regularly to thousands during the three main services on Sundays. I can say, having attended those services, that he is a masterful speaker and charismatic as can be. He is a sought-after speaker, deservedly so, at Christian camps, high schools, and colleges, you just told me the other day.
True.
Hey, let's have the whole bio here, and churches, plus he contributes regularly to online journals and publications. He received his Master's of Divinity from Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena, California, and is currently pursuing his doctorate from George Fox Seminary in Portland, Oregon. He lives with his wife in Westlake Village. What is her name?
Erica.
You've got to give me her name.
Erica with a K.
Okay,
it's
Erica
four
with a
years.
K. Congratulations, and welcome to this special edition of the Bruce Salen Show.
Well, Bruce, thanks for having me on. I know that in addition to working with high school students that have struggled with addiction, I don't know if I've told you this, my brother, younger brother, actually died of a drug overdose.
Why don't you just spring it on me?
I know,
right at
the last minute. But so I think this is something that, you know, for many reasons is just so close to my heart.
Wow, I didn't know that. The reason I invited Pastor Drew aboard was without that knowledge, which of course only adds more meaning to what he has to say, but because he works the youth ministries at Calvary Church, he is encountering our kids and encountering this problem, even in a religious community, maybe not as much as secular life, but certainly a lot. And he sees it a lot more than I do on a day-to-day basis, correct?
Sure. You know, from alcohol to marijuana, prescription drug use, and some of the harder and heavier stuff, methamphetamines, heroin, it's been...
You've seen it all?
I've seen it all. I've been with kids in the hospital when they're coming off of an overdose. I've done funerals for young boys and girls who have died from drug use. It's a hard job. You know, you see the best of human nature and you see the underbelly, the worst of human nature.
As a clergy person, you mean?
Yes, yeah.
I mean, you officiate at weddings, at baptisms.
Yeah.
I know you go to the beach with the kids and you sometimes will have
sure.
baptisms. And then the same day you might have to attend a funeral.
Yeah.
Or, excuse me, preside at a funeral.
Yeah.
That is kind of a remarkable experience about the whole journey of life.
Sure.
But staying with addiction, why don't we show a book called Adolescence, Alcohol, and Drugs? And because our show is oriented to parents, this book has a chapter or a part of it about the stages of addiction.
Sure.
And I think it would be really valuable to refer to that so that we parents could start learning what to look for and what the stages are.
Sure. You know, in this book, they cover a progression of five different stages and some signs that, you know, help you see kind of where they're at. And the first one was just experimentation. And usually you don't see the signs of that. That could be them just, you know, with their friends. Hey, try this joint. Try these pills. A lot of that's
or let's raid mom and dad's alcohol stash.
Yeah, and so really that's where everybody kind of dips their toe into the pool, as it were, as they begin to experiment. And then typically some will then move on to social use, where when they gather together with friends over the weekend or at a party, they'll start to bring marijuana, they'll start to bring pills, or start to bring alcohol.
Or whether they bring it or not,
it's be provided,
there.
Yes.
And what my son has actually told me is he is avoiding some parties nowadays because it is so prevalent that he just feels awkward because he doesn't want to participate.
Yeah. You know, I had a friend. She was a stay-at-home nanny, and she was hosting a birthday party for one of the students or one of the kids that she was caring for, a freshman in high school. This is in Beverly Hills. And the parents were out of town, and so they had this big birthday party. And she calls me in the middle of it, and she says, Drew, you got to get down here. There's hundreds of kids. There's alcohol everywhere. I have no idea what to do. And so I showed up, and I felt really out of place. You know, I'm late 20s. I went down with my friend, and there's these young high school students, and this nanny who I went to college with has no idea what to do, and there's high school students carrying around bottles of Belvedere vodka, champagne. There's a table with pills all over it. And so I said to her, I said, you got to call the police. It's the only way that they're going to be able to get out of the house, because she had no idea what to do. And I had never walked into a scene like that.
Sounds like out of one of the teen movies.
Sure.
That's exactly what it sounds like. Well, let's continue with the stages.
So, again, experimentation, then social use. And then it turns into misuse for some, where they begin to dabble into it even outside of the social settings, where they can maybe take it on their own. And then if it gets worse, then the fourth stage is abuse, where they begin to become dependent upon it, and they start to feel that they have to even to be able to just function normally. And that's where I've seen some of those students, where I visited them at the hospital on their third, fourth overdose. This one gentleman, sadly, he passed away 2 years ago.
Gentleman, meaning a teenager?
Teenager, okay. 18 years old.
So sad.
And he had overdosed four times prior to that.
And the fifth was the final
one. And so he was living in a state of that fifth stage, chemical dependency, where it was just his entire life was ordered around it. It was just so tragic.
One of the things we talked about earlier was my son is currently into techno music, and evidently there are the drug of choice to do to take at one of these techno raves is ecstasy. And there was a very large rave that took place not so long ago in Los Angeles at the Coliseum. There were literally tens of thousands. My son wanted to go. I would not allow him. He didn't fight me on it because he knew why I wasn't going to allow him to go. The prevalence, and you can't hide your head in the sand.
You can't. You really can't. You know, it's so sad. I was talking to some high school students last night who actually attended that rave. It's been going on for 15 years. And
you mean it's an annual event?
It's an annual event. It changed locations, and it kind of reached its pinnacle this year at the Coliseum. I mean, huge, like you said, tens of thousands. And I brought it up. I said, hey, did you hear about that girl? And the reaction, sadly, was, well, it was her fault. She didn't drink enough water. She got dehydrated, and she should know. And it was so sad for me to hear high school students in referencing another high schooler who had died of a drug-related incident, that it was just so nonchalant. That, well, she should have known. She should have drank water. She should have done this to prepare for this and that.
Do you think they're inured to it at this point? That they hear about overdoses and contemporaries' deaths to such a degree that they just want to deny the reality of it all?
Yeah, I think I remember when I was younger, overdose, I thought, was when they died. I thought to overdose.
Oh, so did I.
Thought, yeah, I don't know. Maybe in my ignorance, I thought, okay, if somebody to meet this high school, this young man a couple years ago who had four overdoses before he died. I had never heard of that. And so I wonder if, as we see in pop culture, whether it's film stars or athletes or musicians, they're overdosing. Yet you see them back on the screen. You see them back in the game months later. I wonder.
That's very interesting. So we hear about Robert Downey, and he goes to rehab, and next thing he's back as Iron Man.
Yeah.
And
not only that, he's
back as Iron Man.
Exactly. Top of his career.
Yeah. So that is not exactly a cautionary tale. It's kind of sad. We are almost out of time for this first segment. We could also talk about a little bit about the socioeconomic differences and distinctions as to who gets affected and why. But as I think you and I have talked about, it's really more that the differences are only in the drug of choice and what's available at a different at each different level or each different group. The problem is the same recipe, is, wouldn't you say?
Something as simple as a whipped cream can. I had a friend who spoke at a camp, and in the midst of that weekend camp, they had found, the kitchen staff had found that the whipped cream canisters, you know, that you put on your favorite desserts, they were all out of
They were gas. All empty.
They were all empty. And they had found that a group of junior high boys had been going and huffing is the phrase. They, you know, flip it around and just huff the nitrous oxide in it to get high. And so anybody can get that, local grocery store. So
again, that goes back to the vigilance that the parents have to exhibit. And as I was going to actually say later in the show, you have to recognize that you are not impervious to it. Your kid is not going to be that kid that may not do it. Hopefully, but you can't assume that.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you do, you are being real, real foolish because they're smarter now. The availability of the drugs is greater now. The power of the drugs is greater. Marijuana, when I was in college, was a very mild drug. Now it's refined and available at these clinics, and it is much more powerful. It is time for a break. We will continue, and we have some very special guests that will join us for this addiction special with Pastor Drew Sams. This is the Bruce Salen Show with Dad's Point of View on KZSB AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station.
Makes you small, and the ones that mother gives you don't do anything at all. Go ask Alice when she's 10 feet tall.